Welcome. This is Cropover City. We are the spirit of Cropover. We're bringing you that spirit, the vibe. You can't forget about it. Even though there's actually no festival, we still make sure that you get that feel of it. And you remember past festivals and we look forward to the future. And when we're talking about the festival, you know, you get the images of Kadumat Day. And when you get the images of Kadumat Day and the color and the reverie, you think of the bands. And of course, one of the most iconic bands ever for me is Paul by Four. And the man behind Paul by Four and behind so many other events and just a major part of the festival and continues to be a major part is Chetwin Stewart. So when I thought about this series and who I'm going to speak to, had to be. So let me say a good morning. Fresh out the water to Chetwin. How are you doing, sir?
Not too bad. Good morning to you. Good morning, Barbados.
Well, no. You had to make sure you made me feel shame first thing out because you say you just swam how far?
About a mile and a quarter.
Man, listen, some people walk a mile and a quarter, one collapse. You swim it, and this is a daily routine?
Well, it became kind of a daily routine since the whole virus hit. I actually grew up down Lands End, and down here by the flour mill. I just walked down to the flour mill, and I swim from the flour mill down to the hot pot. So trying to make it a daily routine, but at least 5 days a week. So I you might have noticed too, everybody, you know, is getting fit. People took the time, you know, to start to exercise and stuff, you know. And never used to see so many people on the beach early in the morning and even in the evening. No, so it's good to see. And even driving on the road, it's good to see everybody exercising, a lot of people exercising. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. And you sent out a video last night that I saw with some fresh conch. So that's something that you do as well? You get into a lot of your fishing?
Well, what I decided to do is, since, you know, everything was so expensive and stuff, I decided I would get my protein from the sea. So I dive conch sometimes, or I spearfish. Mm-hmm. So I spearfish and I dive conch. But a lot of my friends want conch. So what I've been doing, I've been collecting, you know, I collect about 20 now. So I have a friend who's going to carry them out. She's very... this weekend, and I would invite, you know, one or two people. We're still doing the social distancing over to have some curry con and relax.
Man, listen, just tell me where. You go. Don't point on here. You can just message me. I'll just pass. But yeah, I'll do curbside pickup. That's all right. But you know, as I said in my intro, you know, when you speak of mass bands, when I think for all the times when I look at the Cropover souvenir that the nation put out, you see images of Paul by Four always in the foreign press when everyone is doing promos. You've seen Paul by Four. I want to take us back to when this was conceptualized. Was this big band, this beast of a band, part of the plans?
Well, I would say not exactly. It started out, Paul by Four kind of started out as a conga line band. The Four Elements, a lot of people think Paul by Four was four people. But it kind of started out as the Four Elements. Then the next year we had contacted Big Mike. He's well known in Trinidad.
Yes, yes.
And we started out then with the Cropover band. But what really made Paul by Four was the amount of women, the amount of females. Paul by Four was always, you know, a lot of females, and we started to do some parties, and the parties were so exciting, and then we got sponsors involved. Because first it was, you know, it was just for fun, actually. Mm-hmm. But then it became so large that, you know, it wasn't all fun anymore, and it was a lot of work. So the directors in it, you know, we were making a lot more money from FET. And in the actual band, I remember a year we did the whole band, and we made $300, and we were making $3,000 a night for any fit.
Wow.
So the guy said, "Well, no, man, we're done with this band is so much work." By that time, I said no, because if we start with the band, you know, I didn't think that we would have the membership and stuff. So I actually, you know, I was married then, and I told my wife, you know, I want to resign from work and manage this band. And luckily, she was very supportive. So I resigned. I became the managing director of 4x4. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other directors, they were doing other stuff, you know, and they kind of moved on. They asked me to buy them out, you know, Richard Seeley, Sean Franklin, Adrian Hurcock, mm-hmm. you know. So that's how, you know, it came into the end that, you know, I was the managing director, but I actually didn't want to be by myself. You know, I did that. But, you know, so then Paul Before is really an entertainment company that will run the largest crossover band, but everybody saw us as, you know, the crossover band, so I kind of left it like that. Mm-hmm. But we've done many projects over the years, you know, and even outside of Barbados, you know, we did the International Chinese New Year's Parade. We went to Hong Kong and we performed there and stuff. But a lot of people don't know that, but we do a lot of other things. We've done parties for Lil Rick, for everybody, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it keeps me busy. So we still go in there. And plus, too, Paul Before actually owns the most popular party, cricket party style in the world. A lot of people don't know that.
There you go.
The beach that we put at Kensington is not just the best party style in the Caribbean. I mean, Australia, England, everyone who comes, wish they could take at the beach and take it home. So that is something that we continue to do.
Now, you mentioned it's more than a band, it's a business, and you mentioned all the different things. Do you find that, because I know, especially now, well, not now at this day and age, but leading up to this year, you had more parties. So we're seeing more parties, more people putting on parties, more people putting on limes and such. Are they approaching it in the business manner you think that they should be?
Well, most of them don't, but then they have to, because if you don't approach it in a business manner, you know, you will lose. As you will know, too, I also do entertainment facilities. Like the last one was the Soca Beach.
Yes.
But obviously, it's gone now because the internet is going there. But, right, so a lot of people would approach me and say, I want to offend a lot of people, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then they have to sit down and do the first thing, which is a budget. I see, well, you know, what you charge. If you try $25 a day, then you're putting out $15,000, $20,000. You know, you have to do budgets. You have to kind of know what it takes. You need people to make money. So it's not just about being popular or whatever. People, then when they're spending money, there have to be a reason to come out. You know, everybody think, well, you know, you could just get a DJ or two DJs. You know, it's not that time has kind of gone. People aren't necessarily just for DJs. They want, you know, quality for the money and stuff. Back in the day, we used to do a fete at the Hilton every year at the Old Fort. And I remember one year, you know, Peter Coppin was so popular. I mean, if you had Peter Coppin, you know, you had everybody, all the youngsters and things. Mm-hmm. And we decided, well, we definitely want Peter Coppin. I mean, I don't want mentioning no Peter Coppin money, but back then, you paid Peter Coppin $10,000 for that event, and it paid off, you know, because we didn't have everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it changes, and you have to move with the flow. Entertainment is, you know, it changes over the years. And then you have different audience, and then the younger people look for different things. So you just have to stay out there. But, you know, I advise a lot of young people all the time, you know, you get what out of things, what you put into it. Because over the years, I mean, so many little companies or groups have come out of Paul Before, you know, that we started out just helping them do events and stuff. So I don't ever turn back anyone. You know, if you want to get any business, you guys give me a call, and we give advice on it, because it's important that and that's the thing that I always tell them, it's important that everybody does well. Mm-hmm. You know, so in this business of promoters, you want all the promoters to do well. Because promoters do well, people come out. If a promoter go and do an event, and then it fails, and you don't give back the people the money, you know, somebody would think twice about buying an early bird ticket next time for somebody else's event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all got to stick together and work together.
Now, something that always comes up is the ease of doing business, and that becomes a point of contention. Do you find that there's always been a lot of discussions, I find, and your name comes up in a lot of these discussions as well. How is is there an ease in doing business in Barbados, or is it still a problem, especially in setting up for events?
Oh, well, as a promoter, I can only speak from promoting. As a promoter, yes, it's very difficult. I mean, it's always been very difficult, but it's very difficult because there are so many different places you have to go just to get permission to do one event. I mean, over the years, we've been talking about it and seeing whether you can put everything. You have to go, you have to get a liquor license, you know, one place. You have to go somewhere else for that. You have to go. Yeah, it's difficult. And what I think the problem was in the past, and kind of still is that entertainers and promoters are not really appreciated. My father used to tell me back in the day it was even worse. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to look on people who used to play music and sing or whatever, they could never make a career out of it. I mean, you know, people are not smarter than that. Mm-hmm. But it's still very difficult to get all the permissions, and then you go to certain areas and, you know, you can't play music there, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So that is why I went into selling the entertainment facilities to make it easier, you know, one-stop shop, somebody come in and, you know, you rent the place and we have everything there.
Yes.
But hopefully, you know, I mean, it took a long time, but I think we finally have people in Barbados that understand now that entertainment generates, you know, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as long as you know that, then, you know, we will get support and stuff like that. Crop over is said to, and that was a couple of years ago, generate $55 million U.S. in 2 months. That's $110 million into the economy. So if you have a festival like that, that just kind of naturally, you know, came, I mean, with the assistance of the NCF, but really and truly the promoters and the band leaders and everybody who helped to build it. You have a festival generating that kind of money. You should make it easier for it to happen. You should, you know.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate it's actually taken that well.
We're actually getting there. Mm-hmm. To tell the truth, I feel a lot better about it now. I mean, we had some meetings and everything with the Prime Minister, and she is definitely on board, I must say. Mm-hmm. Out of everybody in the past, she knows what she's talking about.
Well, I think as someone that put on parties as well, she will, firsthand, she knows, yeah.
So I feel confident, you know, when things get back to some kind of stage where we could do events, you mm-hmm. know. We're moving forward. And that's the other thing, too. A lot of people ask me nowadays, like, what are you doing and this thing? But I exercise it, because really and truly, what I do in terms of entertainment, you know, is a social thing. So until the social distancing, you know, some things, you know, but like just, you know, relax a little bit. I also own, I'm a partner with Island Soup. So last week we reopened Island Soup right there on Spring Garden next to Wine World. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, we're selling soup.
There you go.
That is something, you know, you got to do little things to survive.
Yeah, and I think that will then further go to show those that are looking to get into the business that you try different things. You got to make sure, because you just never know. You just never know.
So yeah, it's different. Yeah, especially as a promoter, because we are, I tell people and young people who want to be a promoter, we're a totally different breed. You know, a lot of people, sometimes will come to the event and see all these people. So then the multiply the $25 by $1,000. I said, man, he make $25,000. But they don't see the expense.
They see how much you spend.
Or they don't see some events that you lose $100,000. And you're trying to buy some money to pay stuff and stuff like that. So we take a lot of risk. And it's understandable, because if it was easy, then everybody would do it.
That's
but we are people who take a lot of risks. We have to take risks. We have to gamble. But, you know, you don't just go and do it. You know, you have to put pen to paper and make sure that it makes sense. So right now, you know, all the parties that were banned are example. You know, a lot of people risk events to pay their deposits. The artists are overseas and everything already. They're not getting back those deposits. They just have to wait until next year or whenever when they move these events and try to make the money back.
No, that's no, because obviously, as you said, it's a very social thing, so nothing going on right now. What are the plans? You and your team, are you planning for next year or for when things open up? Is there going to be a big bash? Not to let everything out of the bag, but what's going on behind the scenes now?
Yeah, well, a lot is going on, actually. I have 4 kids, and 2 years ago, my daughter, Kayla, she's a little promoter, too. She does events with us. She had come into the band and stuff as a director. But this year, all four of them have joined up. And we were actually bringing back out probably 4 on the name Zoom to us. So we had meetings. We formed a committee and like 25 people, that kind of stuff. We're not doing it the right way. So all that's been put on hold. So definitely... next year, probably before we back up, but it would be kind of actually 4 of my 4 kids kind of taking it over. I obviously be in the background with logistics and stuff like that. So I'm very happy that all of them are interested for now. So you'll see how that goes. But outside of that, if you drive on the highway, you'll see probably 4 logo up by the bar that is right next to Wine World. So what that bar was actually erected last year, August. And they only ever really opened it once. That was Kadumat Day. Mm. So now, putting things in place, to do when we can do certain lanes and things there, you know, because they find the best events, even with the young people nowadays, are the events where it's not too large and the no one is, and you know, you can have a good time and stuff. Mm. So people be able to come and rent it. If you do an event like 150 people, you could come and rent it. And if you charge X, you make X. You know, it's just a matter of getting the people and making some money. So that's the next stage for us.
All righty. No, I mean, I can't believe that time has run away from me so quickly, but I know I'm going to have you back here again at some point in time. But,
no problem.
For the future, how do you see the future of the festival? Because, we were on a trajectory. Obviously, everything has been sidetracked. But overall, in terms of, from your perspective as a band leader, how do you see the future shaping up?
Well, I see it as just heading up, growing, because we have a lot more people now interested in actually coming out and bringing bands. I mean, you got to face it. For most people, it's a business, not, it's not just for fun. And we have people interested. We have people from overseas interested in coming and jumping and stuff. I only see it going forward as long as, you know, we can put quality bands on the road and people have a good time. There are a lot of people, you know, that come to me every year wanting to form a band and stuff. And Barbados, it's more, people always ask me, you know, well, why should I come to Cropover instead of going to Trinidad Carnival? I say, you should do both if you could do. This year is my 23rd Carnival. Carnival in Trinidad is Carnival. Cropover is Cropover. Barbados has a lot more to offer than just somebody coming and jumping and running around in a costume. Mm-hmm. And I meet Carnival people from all over the world. I will see them, you know, Boston, New York, wherever. And a lot of them tell me, you know why you like Cropover so bad, man? Because in Barbados, so when they come, I could go in the beach or I could walk on the beach and drink a rum and people friendly. So we have, you know, we continue to have a lot to sell. So all the carnivals are different. But I think Barbados, is one of the ones up there on the top that people will always come to. So I think we just have to work hard and put a proper product out there. And it's going to grow. It's definitely going to grow. It's just that time will tell in terms of when we'll be able to get out there. Mm-hmm. And then people will be coming. So I would say right now, we should be working hard towards next year.
All right, good stuff. Well, Chetwin, thank you very much. Thanks for jumping on the phone right after you jump out the water. enjoy the rest of your day. And I think I can probably go pass and check out the, your what's the place called?
The Gathering. Right next to Wine World.
The Gathering. Let me get some
on
soup.
The Mighty Granny Highway.
All right, Chetwin Stewart. Thank you very much, sir. You enjoy your day.
Thank you, too. All right, you too. Bye-bye.